Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear ye, hear ye. It's the Christmas and holiday edition of the Swolecast. We hope that Santa brought you some semifinal teams. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the slate of games. I think we're only just going to do the Christmas Eve games. And so the first look premiere. Why is Pete looking
at that? Is that true?
The Christmas Eve games are the game is the main slate, Peter.
The main slate.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you meant the Saturday slate for a second. I was like, this is news to me. Anyways, continue with your cold open.
This is Swolecast presented by RoomCovers.com.
Can you see the static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye. Hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto jeans, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I've put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro. Live a little.
Live a little.
Just live a little, guys.
All right. Come on in. It's a Swolecast. We got Mr. Tuttle 05 back in. Tuttle, welcome. We've missed you.
Can't say I missed you guys.
What?
I assume I missed like an hour. Only because I assume I missed like an hour of best ball talk last week.
Is the week you're going to get an hour of best ball talk.
I'm so excited I'm back then, guys. So excited.
We did like 10 minutes. We did like 10 minutes.
Pete, I saw where you were saying on your maybe it was your Monday morning episode where like the deposit game didn't fill the DFS contest.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is this. Mm. There's all this holiday stuff, but also the best ball sweats kind of take over the DFS stuff too. Like
that's a lot kinder of interpretation than everyone's fucking broke in week 14.
Your mic's not plugged in, by the way.
Yeah, Davis, your mic's not working. Be a professional for once. But yeah, like I was sweating best ball more than anything on Sunday.
You don't say.
Yeah. Well, Davis, how are
Dave,
you?
What do you even normally play? Like on a regular week,
this is actually a great question. This is a million-dollar question. Sunday afternoon, it's week 10.
Yeah.
What contest are you in?
What are you just fucking in, Dave?
It just depends.
It just depends.
Like, I like to get in the 50-50s on FanDuel. They've got the 100-man 50-50s. They got the double-ups. There's only like two or three contests. Yeah, there's like two or three tournaments I'm in. And then
are you FanDuel exclusive?
No, and let me get to DK.
Jeez. All right, I'm just really interested in this.
DK, they've got all the double ups, and you know, I'll play the all the tournaments up to, you know, $20 or so, $50. Sometimes I'll play the spy. Sometimes a wildcat.
You just put your cash team in there?
I mean, sometimes. Sometimes I put two teams, three teams,
under the three max. Dave really is just living in 2013, and honestly, God, I'm so envious, man. I'm so envious of the way Dave just drifts through. You know, he's not checking his sim ROI on his Chiefs double stack. He's just like, I don't know. It's like, maybe it'll hit, maybe it won't, you know?
And you know what you'll never find in Dave's mention compared to some maybe other touts across the industry? No one's ever checking the blockchain to see what Dave's actually in, to see if he's doing some disingenuous touting. No one's ever like, Dave, curious, you touted Will Levis, but I didn't see that in your spy lineup.
Yeah,
because there is no spy lineup.
There is no spy lineup. That's so good. That is so good.
I mean, yeah, you can check my profile on RG to see what I've
been
in.
You're kind of like the superstar of DK social media. I mean, you have 60.
Are you the only one that uses that app? Or the
there's a chance you're the most followed person on
no Smiz. Smiz is Smiz is number one,
of course.
I don't even know how to access this area of okay.
The only reason I know how is because I've tried to explain that Nate Noling needs to use it so that people can find him to send him games on DraftKings. So I've logged on it for that purpose.
Oh, yeah, I haven't even agreed. I just clicked on it. You have to agree to terms and service, it looks like.
Hang on, Kitchen, let me ask you one of those classic questions that I have asked Davis before.
Yeah.
What would you rather get? Would you rather win the Millie Maker on DraftKings? You have the best lineup. Or you get second place in Best Ball Mania for $1 million. So the prizes are the same. Which thing would be better for your career and your personal brand?
Second or first?
So it's the same amount. Second place in Best Ball Mania is $1 million. First place in the Millie Maker is $1 million. I'm saying, which one of those would you rather have? Second place in Best Ball Mania, going the Best Ball tree, or first place in the DK Millie?
I think first would probably, well, I don't know. Maybe second in Best Ball. Yeah, I like Best Ball. I like the
That's what I'm asking.
I like Best Ball. It's incredible logic. I like Best Ball. Dave, like, the thing for you, I think the thing for you is that it doesn't matter.
Right. I think of Davis and all of the times he was like on the treadmill doing his teams, and like we have the same number of teams in the semifinals of the underdog Best Ball Millie. Like, that's just amazing to me. Like, that is why Best Ball is
how many you got on DraftKings, dude? Do your Best Ball lineups go to a different school?
Yeah, don't worry about DraftKings.
I got 10 on DraftKings.
It bricked so hard on DraftKings. I think I had like 20 that were in third place or second place. Just
All right. Best Ball talk is over. It's
I
time.
Knew this was gonna happen.
It's time.
Glad I came back, guys.
It's
gonna come back in the Overzets overview. Buckle up.
It's time.
May as well get the Overzets overview out of the way then, too. Since we're
Overzets
on
overview. Subject.
Got that dog in a butt. Got that dog in a butt. Overzets overview. Come on.
All right. Yeah, we will get to some Best Ball, but we gotta start with the pressing matter at hand. And I got bad news, guys. A week after stuffing Clay Matthews into a locker, he's bested us again in week 15. Our Jordan Love double stack
denominator there.
We'll get to that. Our Jordan Love double stack, it didn't get home. Someone insisted on putting Stephon Diggs in our lineup. I can't remember who it was. I think we had a guest on the show, but it's escaping me right now. We only scored 122.27 points, and our friend and mortal enemy, Clay Matthews, scored 129.18. And what's worse is I fear he's getting smarter. The dude rolled out a Stafford Cup stack with a Terry McLaurin bringback, perfectly logical, cromulent team. He played McKinnon at 5,100. His lineup featured a perfect balance of chalk and contrarian pieces. And I think I'm ready to put Matthews on the Mount Rushmore of DFS now, alongside Utikau, Osimo, and 2014 Soccer Dave. I mean, that is the pinnacle of DFS performance. But this is a forward-thinking show, and it's time to dig into the task at hand, which is fixing the BBM4 structure. Guys, we got to roll up our sleeves and fix this structure and reduce some of the randomness. The discourse is all the rage right now. It's tearing apart
biggest crybabies on the goddamn planet.
Hey, no, there's good people on both sides.
There aren't.
Davis, the tribal lines have been formed. And if you are wondering right now, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be on a side. I'll tell you which side you should be on. If you advance more than a few teams, you are on team pods. You love the pods. If you didn't advance more than a few teams, you were on team cumulative scoring. You want wild cards. Any tweak that would make a tournament with 677,000 entries reward your drafting genius, and not the cruel randomness where you need to finish in the top 50 to just afford more than a used Toyota Corolla. Yes, this is what we're trying to fix. Fucking grow up, people. Jesus Christ.
Thank God. Thank God.
Speaking of best ball, I advanced 5 teams to the best ball semis. And let me tell you, I love these goddamn pods, man. They are absolutely incredible. Whoever came up with this pod idea deserves a Nobel Prize. But more relevant to this show is two of the 5 teams that I have advancing to the semis were drafted on the Swolecast. Davis, did I see where one of your semis teams
one
drafted?
One of my two. Oh, really early one, too. Like a really early one.
Yeah, so
this was the first two.
The first two. I think this begs the question, guys. It begs the question. What if David Kitchen is the draft opponent you need?
I think he might be. I'm gonna be honest. There's some real credence to that theory.
The data is certainly pointing to that. And Kitchen, here's the thing. Don't take this as a diss. You should see this as a business opportunity. I think you should start offering a service next year where you alert people when you're hopping in drafts. The marketing, it writes itself. You want to build monsters that you can advance to the finals of BBM5? Draft with me, David Kitchen. And
I'll draft honestly, with a blindfold on.
Yes, you can do blindfolded. You can do one hand behind your back. That's all I got. I can barely muster a care for this Sunday main slate. We still have Thursday night football, 2 Christmas Eve games. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, I thought for sure you were going to have something about Ryan Tannehill in this week's overview. So,
I mean, how much time? I mean, maybe if I start doing a 60-minute Overzets overview, I'd finally get to Ryan Tannehill, but that did not make the relevance list.
I might be the only person in the best ball final that has the Tannehill.
What if Ryan Tannehill in week 16 is who you need to advance a crappy team?
Yeah, this week
that would be so good for the bit, though.
It would. That would be
amazing for the bit.
I was honestly hoping that the team that I drafted that second week, because Pete and I both made it out into the semifinals, but it. Dak and Fields did not do good, but
when I looked to that video, I saw that team. I was like, holy cow, that was a monster.
Yeah. Like if that would have won it on my second, just blind draft of the year, like that's the bit that I need. That's the bit equity that we're looking for. I did see though, that Sosa tweeted out a video of me telling Davis that Stroud could be the guy that you need.
You were also saying Bryce Young can maybe be the guy you need. So I don't know. I don't know if you need to be
100%
that hard.
One was on one end, one was on the other. And it kind of goes, you just don't know. You just don't know.
The Laporta clip. My only best ball take of the whole offseason. I need Sosa to bring them back. Laporta.
Yeah. Dan had Tank Dell. I mean, we had lots of good takes. Let's get on to this week now. If you looked at the quarterbacks for the main slate.
The Chicago Bears have the second highest team total of the main slate. The Chicago Bears.
Here are some of the quarterbacks that could be starting this week. CJ Beathard, Nick Mullins, Joe Flacco, Taylor Heineke, Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian.
And Bryce Young is projected worse than all of them. I mean, the thing I think that is so interesting about this slate is that the ownership is going to be giga concentrated at quarterback and at stacks. Like, I think once you get past Kyler at 6,400, I mean, like Howell against the Jets, he just got benched. Maybe a little bit of Baker, but like, who's rolling out the Gardner Minshew stack with like maybe not having Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor maybe being back? And like, you want to, I mean, how much of the ownership is going to concentrate on Dak and Tua in that game? I think it's the only game. It is the only game total above 50. It might be the only game total above 46. I mean, it is far and away the highest projected fantasy point game.
How do you make it work though? My 10 minutes of research before the show, DraftKings actually did some pretty good.
You gotta hope that Tyreek does not play and that you can psyop yourself into Braxton Berrios or Cedric Wilson. And you have to
Smythe,
play,
baby.
You gotta play Smythe or Gallup or Tolbert or whomever. Yeah.
That's do we think way. That Tyreek might not play this week?
Seems like he's probably going to, just to really drive the knife into all the cut line people last week who are mad they didn't advance their Tyreek teams, you know?
Yeah.
But I think
there's also a little bit of narrative as well. Like, I think he's going to try to go for 2,000 yards receiving.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, he said that and McDaniel said that. So that's definitely true. But he needed to play that game to win MVP. He's like drawing stone dead to win it now. Peter, I will give you the option of a non-Dak or Tua quarterback. You have to choose.
The Debo stuff.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. I like God. You have abandoned God. You were so far from God's light on the Debo stuff. I can't help you.
Just wait for the 30 burgers coming in. I'll be in your mentions when it does. Anyways, yes, give me the QB hypothetical.
Okay, you have to double stack one of these quarterbacks: Jared Goff, Jordan Love, or Kyler Murray against the Chicago Bears.
So the double stack thing makes it interesting, right? Because I got to factor in prices with the other stuff. Yeah. When I factor in price there, it might honestly be a Kyler.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I see Marquise Brown still not practicing? You could probably get to cheap Michael Wilson or whatever you want there. And I mean, McBride, even at 5,700, and I know we don't normally spend a lot of time on tight ends. I mean, this guy's still underpriced.
He's going to get like 90 points, dude. He's fucking Trey Gronk. He's unreal. Dude,
this guy, can we also just be a little pissed off? The Cardinals, they saw this guy break out at the end of last year, right? The past two games. And they said, you know what? No, we're going to go back to Zach Ertz at the start of the season. You literally have the next Gronk on your roster. And they wanted to trot out Zach Ertz for 5 weeks. Get the hell out of here.
It's real. It was a crazy stat. If you added up all the wide receiver targets last week, it did not equate to more than running back plus tight end targets. Kyler threw more passes in that come from behind, not really come from behind effort, but come from behind game to his tight end and to his running backs. All right, Tuttle, I'm going to toss you the same thing. You can't play Dak, Tua, or Justin Fields. You don't have to double stack, but you have to create a stack with one quarterback that is not the three highest projected guys. What direction are you going?
Well, I think Baker will be owned. I don't know if I want to play him, but I think people will go back to the Baker well after last week. And I know you said you don't have to double stack, but I think some obviously pretty easy double stacks there, especially if you use Otten at all. After that, man, it's so bad.
I mean, it's going to lead to like 20% owned Jared Goff.
Can we do the Bryce Young thing?
Nick Mullins is also interesting this week, I think.
I think he's in play.
Yeah, Mullins is fine.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Although he had the absolute worst interception I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not very, but he is throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
I know we're bouncing all over, but is this a generational buy the dip on Jefferson at 8,100 here?
it's been a generational spot for him every game he's played for the last since he came back off the IR. I've not gotten paid on it yet, but I might get paid this week. You just don't know.
No. Smith said chalk road golf. Question mark. I mean,
is it a road game? I mean, how far is it to Minnesota? And it's a dome, isn't it? Like
the differentiator is not road or away. It's does Goff's tiny little hands have to play outside, and it's a dome game. So I think you chalk this one up as good Goff.
By the way, this I'm going to flash a couple comments, and this is kind of what I was getting at.
Wow,
Bryce Young and Adam Thielen. Packer killer, Adam Thielen. We've seen the big. We know Adam Thielen can get it done. Right? I mean, it's obviously
he's just
better
not
to
even
play
getting.
Thielen.
He's just not even getting targeted anymore, really.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw what the Packers let up to the Buccaneers last week, and we know Thielen can give us some big games at least. His price has come down. He's not the 8,400 or whatever he was the week five of the season.
Peter, do you know who has the fourth highest team total of the main slate?
I don't know. Is it like the Seahawks?
It's Artie Smith's fighting Atlanta Falcons with Desmond
versus
Ritter.
The Colts?
Taylor Heineke. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Colts have been bad.
Little Heineke, Pitts, London action. Is that a shipper? Is that a shipper potential? Probably not.
It might.
I mean, honestly, go ahead.
I was just saying, I was thinking through this. So like clearly Arthur Smith's trying to save his job, right? From a game theory optimal perspective for him, I think it would have been smart to play Desmond Ritter one more week and then shift to Heineke. Because if you have a 3-game sample size of Heineke sucking and you lose these games, then there's nowhere to hide, right? As far as all the blame's going to come back on him. This was the last lever he can pull to kind of save his job.
He'll still tell blank, like, I don't have a quarterback, you know. Heineke still sucks. I mean, now disregard the fact that Lamar Jackson could have been a Falcon 6 months ago, you know, and they all kind of universally decided against that. I mean, the Arthur Smith stuff is like, he really fooled me last week. You know, I was like, oh, London got all these down the field targets. Pitts ran the most routes of his career. Bijan has like 22 touches all these weeks in a row, and they lose on the road to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, just insane stuff.
What we really need is the Staley-esque uber embarrassing loss. We need the Colts to hang 60 on this Falcons team.
Dave, how about that narrative? How about the Falcons give up on Artie Smith and give up 60 points narrative? You buying into that?
I like the playing for his job narrative. I also like the Tannehill playing for next season narrative if they roll him out there.
There's no one even talking about this narrative in the entire planet except you.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just never know. I did see where right now on Roto Grinders we have our CJ Beathard as the highest value and points per dollar guy.
Yeah, I am just hoping and praying. I am down to just Trevor Lawrence in two Superflex Dynasty Leagues as my only quarterback who might potentially be available. So I am just saying, dude, please get him the Russell Wilson magic recovery water. I need Trevor. I can't even entertain CJ Beathard starting
so
this game. In the end, this is what I'm going to say. I think I'm just going to play Justin Fields. I think I'm going to let Dak and Tua do their things. And if I want to get pieces of that game, I can. I think it's just such an unbelievably good spot for Fields. The field projects so flat that even, I mean, obviously if he gets to like 40% ownership or 35%, Dave, this is your favorite part of the show. This is going to feed into the Sims, his ownership getting that high. The Sims are not going to like him near as much at that rate. But assuming, you know, like a Purdy level for the last couple weeks, you know, 20, 25%, I think you just play him at that capacity.
All right, let's get to the DraftKings lineup. Pete, let us know what we're playing.
Yeah, we gotta take down Clay, guys. it's very embarrassing, you know, for me to have to come on over Zet's overview and read off this beautiful lineup that he made versus our Dust Bowl team. So let's stay focused. We don't have Liam here tanking it with Bills, so I think we can get this done.
All right. Davis, you start off.
All right. I'm going to take Justin Fields. Nice and easy. Who's next, Dave?
All right. Tuttle?
I'll take the easy way out and just take McBride.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the combinatorial ownership of those two guys going to be?
Well, should we just lean into it and also get DJ Moore in here for the chalk stack?
Yes.
I promise you, Clay Matthews is way too big of a giga brain contrarian player to roll this out. So as long, I know it's a massive free roll, but our goal is just not to be duped with Clay Matthews stack.
Yeah. Can't be duped by giga brain.
Should we count DJ Moore as Kitchens pick so we can keep this lineup really,
yes,
really humming?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
No. No. Yeah. No. Not at all.
Well, he can't take Chig and he can't take Tannehill. So what can he really do?
I'm going to take a guy that has helped me tremendously, and that is Ty Chandler against Detroit.
Oh, Dave, okay. This was literally going to be my pick. Great job.
He's a featured back now. He's the guy that I needed last week, so I'm just going to reward him by being in this week's lineup. Davis?
Okay. This is going to be, I will put out the global alert in the Deposit Kingdom.
Oh, no.
I will put out the global alert on Sunday.
Are you,
if you need to
doing
swap
Christian
this
Watson?
Out. No, I'm going to do his backup. I'm going to do Dontavian Wicks at 4,300.
Wait, is he hurt? I thought Wicks is good.
You don't want to play him if Watson plays.
Oh, you're saying if Watson, you're going back. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But Wicks is a guy I really liked, his college stuff. Like, I've got him as the 30th man on some dynasty teams. I think he's pretty
good. Did you really like him, Davis? Because I drafted him in our Insiders Dynasty Superflex League in the last round.
I might win that league, David. So
Tuttle, did you see what just happened there? We built a really good stack, and then Kitchen drafted a guy he likes because of best ball, and Davis selected a guy he likes because of dynasty.
Do you not like Ty Chandler? He's the featured back now.
I do, but I'd like some better logic than this guy helped me a lot in my best ball
against
team.
Detroit.
No, Wicks is, I think Wicks is, I played Wicks last week. Like, I think he's just like a straight up good play at 4,300. I like, and Tyler made a good point in the chat, which is that the Green Bay training staff is like literally the most conservative in the league. They hold like, Aaron Jones is like been on ice all year with like a minor hamstring.
Well, actually,
strain.
Can we talk about that report before the game? And maybe Tuttle as our resident, Packers homer, where they're like, oh, Aaron Jones is going to be on a snap count. And the dude had 9 carries on the first drive.
Matt LaFleur said that. It wasn't even, it was literally Matt LaFleur mentioned like maxing him out at like 15 touches, which I'm pretty sure he had by half.
Yeah. All right.
Coach speak.
Okay.
No, I was just giddy that that Davis set me up for the Adam Thielen secondary.
Oh no!
Oh wow!
We have some chat comments in chat that Thielen hasn't done anything the last two games against the Packers, but he's going to channel the 2016 self where he had 12 catches for 202 yards and
Wait,
2 touchdowns.
We're worried about Adam Thielen career splits against the Packers. How about we be worried about him not doing anything in the past 5 fucking weeks? I'd say that's more
like,
of a relevant data point.
He's like 50 years old. He's dust, but still.
Don't you think there might...
I don't love it, but it's fine. Whatever.
You guys are overreacting. This guy was priced at literally above 8K on DraftKings at some point in time this year.
He's on that Larry Fitzgerald arc where he has like 5 good games to start the season and then it's just dust.
It's
in
so,
the
yes.
Oh, he topped out at 7,700. My bad.
That is
for
a 200 great,
more.
That is a great comp.
For 200 more, you get DeAndre Hopkins.
No, we're good.
True.
No, there's a wide receiver I want to get in our flex here if we can afford him.
Yeah, Peter, do it.
I want Amari Cooper.
Oh,
average Amari, man, coming all the way back around. This actually works because go ahead, Dave.
And I do want to say something. The process that I had regarding
you and the word process should not be in the same sentence.
The Cleveland Browns process. Yeah, that week With 17 Watson? Game. That week 17 game between Trevor Siemian and Joe Flacco is going to be what you need.
Watson to Cooper and Njoku. I was just basically if Watson.
You were seeing the ball.
No, hurt.
I'm not giving you directionally accurate on this one. The whole reason we laughed is because Watson sucked last year, was an awful dude, and you're still oh, I'm going to pile it in.
And you were jamming him in like in the Flacco's eighth round.
You're playing Flacco's Cooper in this draft.
No, I mean the point is that Flacco was good.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett. This was not a system problem. This was a Deshaun Watson problem.
My thing is if Deshaun Watson had any sort of like bounce back, Cooper and Deshaun would have gone nuts in this offense.
You know,
if Flacco is making all these down the field throws, so yes.
Awful. All right, we gotta choose a cheap defense. I like the Dolphins just because they'll probably face 38 passing attempts or whatever.
We'll just pick a running back and whoever fits in.
Oh, you know, it's like Breece Hall. He's a little bit expensive. Probably has to be Singletary.
What about Bucks defense, right? We're not using any pieces. Might go against Beathard.
Sure. Yeah. Singletary, Bucks. So it's Fields, Chandler, Singletary, Moore, Wicks, Thielen, yes. McBride, Cooper, Buccaneers.
This and is a min cash lineup dude. If I've ever seen it.
This is hot. This feels like a week 18.
Don't dupe us, brother.
Chandler, Singletary, and Wicks. And Thielen. Oh, gosh. All right.
Good team, guys.
Yeah,
let's move on to running back. I almost put this guy in there because it does seem like Singletary and Chandler are projecting well. RIP those Pierce teams. People thought he was the alpha. I think Pete, you're one of those guys. It's a forward thinking show though. So Kenneth Walker at 6,200 against this Titans.
I know you're just sorting by points per dollar on rotogrinders.com/lineup HQ, but I do think that Kenneth Walker is an absolute jam fest.
Please don't out his Titans. Process like that, David.
Titans, they released Tyrae Tart because he was a...
No one cares. Oh, my God. Absolutely
He's
not.
The run stopper.
No.
He was...
Immediately.
This is
immediately
the only
event
show where you're going to get a Tart reference this week.
Is he
he's
related
the
to
run
Kwasi
stopper.
Tart?
I'm just saying, after Walker went ham last week, the Titans not
okay,
having
guys,
Tart, possibly
everyone.
Not having Simmons, that they're
wipe
so
clean,
thin up front.
Wipe clean... what he just told you. The reason why Kenneth Walker is a good play is because he's the type of guy that by Sunday morning is not going to be a popular play. Pollard is going to get steamed. Jonathan Taylor probably is going to get steamed once he is ruled in. There will be those amongst
Walker
us who believe
will be uber popular on Sunday. Guaranteed.
He will be the fourth most owned running back is my prediction. But there's a pretty big delta. It's a pretty big delta between the third and fourth guy most of the time. And Kenneth Walker just hits MF and home runs. That's what the dude does.
Tuttle, you want to weigh in here?
I mean, I don't know how are people treating Pollard is what it comes down to essentially, right?
They're going to play him. They're going to play him a lot. He projects strong. It's the highest total.
People are
going to
love that game environment.
Yes.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, early stuff has him third or fourth, so right where Davis said. It just depends on if Pollard gets steamed or not.
Well, just wait for the Bijan steam, by the way. Just wait for the Bijan. It's not there yet, but just wait for the Bijan steam.
So of the early stuff, though, the drop-off is you get Singletary, you get Chandler, you get Walker, you get Pollard, and then it drops off from an ownership perspective, which I think checks out early in the week.
Do you guys think you buy this Jonathan Taylor return?
Yeah, I mean they're fighting for a playoff spot. They didn't place him on the IR. I buy it. Yeah, I think it
is
makes
Zach Moss for play. Sure out this week.
No, he said he's going to try and play. But the thing is though is Zach Moss, greatest backup running back in the history of the NFL, really took a really took a negative turn last week when he left the game and Tyler Goodson and Trey Sermon just immediately started ripping off like 19-yard run, 24-yard run, 16-yard catch. Like, I think Zach Moss, you know, significantly eating into Jonathan Taylor's workload might not happen as much. Maybe that's wrong.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, so Cook went off against Dallas last week. This week, you've got the Miami running backs. Any interest there in either Mostert or Achane?
Yeah, I'll continue to lose money on Devin Achane.
Is he a... Yeah, I want to see what his health status is, right? He's still not 100% right now, but yeah.
I mean, Hayden Winks was right, dude. He weighs 190 pounds soaking wet. What can you do? He's going to get hurt.
Meanwhile, Raheem Mostert has turned into Jamal Williams. It's a really brutal run out.
I knew Raheem Mostert had scored a lot of touchdowns, but when he scored 20 last week, when they were like, yeah, 20th, I was like, that's one of the most absurd things that's ever happened in fantasy football history. 31-year-old Raheem Mostert scoring 20 touchdowns in 14 games. It's insane.
Okay, let's say you want to be underweight on that Miami-Dallas game. Is the move just to play Mostert, or do you just not play anybody?
No, I think...
Play one of the defenses and get out of there?
Yeah, I like... Because even Mostert will, I think, just because of that game environment, get... Yeah, I say that, but he never really gets that owned because idiots like me play Achane.
Well, I think my take would be I would be much more willing to one-off a Dolphin, whereas I don't want to one-off a Cowboy. Like, if CD's rolling, I'd rather just have the Dak double.
Yeah, I think that's a good take.
Whereas the Dolphin stuff can really consolidate, and you could just play the alpha game through one of those guys.
All right.
Do you know who the highest priced running back on this slate is?
Rashad White.
That is wild. But all he does is rush, and they're favored in this game. I mean, 7,400.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually probably an example of a play that the Sim Slappies won't be on, that the button clickers will be on, and he'll just get 24 and get there or whatever. Mm. You know? Yeah, because a non McCaffrey slate is so interesting because the what am I trying to say? Like a score that can be in the optimal lineup, the bar is so far lowered when McCaffrey is not on a slate. Like 24 really might do it, whereas 24 in a McCaffrey slate, you're like, I don't know, it's not probably not enough.
I think it'll shock you that I haven't watched a lot of Rashad White tape this year, but I've seen like a lot of Rashad White discourse. That slant TD he had was filthy, man. Like, I know he's like uninspiring as a rusher, but he is sick in the passing game.
I feel like the last time I was on this show, people were like trying to say like Rashad White was going to stop happening.
That's Pete. Yeah. Pete was very anti Rashad White.
He's so inefficient. He sucks. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Kitchen, there's no way you have a recall for that. That sounds like someone go watch the tape and see if that's true.
There's no chance. Well, Corain was pro Rashad White. Sam Sherman was very anti Rashad White.
You know who was also huge on Rashad White? JJ went out on a limb multiple times for Rashad.
That's why. That's one of the reasons why I drafted a lot of Rashad White.
He's on. He was a key piece to advance. Like if you had the Rashad White James Cook pairing, you had a really good chance.
Or Rashad White Ty Chandler.
All right, cheap running back that is not Devin Singletary or Ty Chandler. You can play one of Chuba Hubbard, James Conner, Jerome Ford. Where are you going?
I'll go Chuba there.
He just he gets like 20 touches every week.
Can I throw another
he's
name?
He's going to get higher owned, I think.
We have not talked about Breece Hall.
I just mentioned
not a lot to talk about.
But yeah, it's just like, what can you do? Great, great stat. Nick Bowden. Bowden, the fullback, is the only Jets running back to receive a carry inside the 5-yard line this season. How you like that them apples? I mean, the Jets are just the worst offense in the NFL. Like, it, you know, either he scores.
Yeah, but he went off against Houston. Obviously, Miami was tough. But against Washington, right? Like, this could be another game where he
the problem, right, is like what you're hanging your hat on with Breece Hall is receptions, right? Like, he just hasn't shown the ability to bust off that long run that we all drafted him to do. I mean, this is like a volume play. You're hoping he has 7 for 80 in the receiving game, or maybe it's the 100-yard bonus in the receiving game. That's what it is.
I mean, they're favored, though, this week.
Right, which might even make the passing stuff even less interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like burned by Breece Hall. I don't know.
If they're up the entire game, you're not getting the 8 free points from checkdowns.
Gosh.
Yeah.
This feels like the one where Breece Hall does have the big game and Kitchen has Sosa clip this and Posey.
I wanted
to play Breece Hall.
I'll probably play a little bit of him, but it's like very low degrees of confidence.
Yeah.
Seeing Khalil Herbert's price tag against Arizona is just depressing. You just can't trust any of those Chicago.
Roshan's the guy, man.
He's their third string running back. Like, Foreman started. Yeah. Roshan plays all the long down and distance.
Yeah.
They're running the hot hand. Like, even Foreman 2 weeks ago had a good game. Last week he had like -6 yards.
Well, that's something why it's like scary, right? Because I would bet a good amount of money that one of those backs has over 15 DK points, but good luck guessing which one it is.
Roshan was going to be my terrible take. But man, like if Foreman was out of there, I'd be all in on it. But he really muddies the waters a little bit. Roshan's a guy I think you want to – this is my, like, next year tout. There you go. Next year best ball. Get in on Roshan. He's going to happen.
Some of us have been in on Roshan since Bijan Robinson was leaving the field so Roshan could pass block at the University of Texas.
It didn't pay off this year, though. It's going to pay off next year.
It paid off in Sklansky dollars, though. It was very directionally accurate.
We haven't talked about Gibbs or Montgomery. Anyone have anything to say about them?
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is probably the best running back in the NFL. Like, we should talk about him more. Like, he is just like a stone cold smash and probably won't get owned to the degree that he should.
I don't know. I think the Lions should keep giving David Montgomery 20 touches. Keep Gibbs. You don't want him to get into Pollard territory. Too many touches. Just not as
okay. Is there anything more tilting in the NFL right now than when the Lions are behind in a game and they hand off the ball to David Montgomery on first down? Like, is there anything more tilting in the NFL?
I'll give you one more version of that. The Seattle Seahawks down to the Philadelphia Eagles, who are scoring at will in the fourth quarter after egregiously burning timeouts, giving 2 Kenneth Walker carries to put Drew Lock in a third and long that they then punted away on. That those 2 Kenneth Walker carries tilted me so much.
Why? Did you have any action on?
Well, I was sweating a Kenneth Walker team, but I also thought it was just egregious play calling when you were down at that game.
That game was that was a tough game to watch from like a.
I needed 14 Geno Smith points to advance another team. So for showdown stuff, I was like, I'm jamming Drew Lock because I know I'm not going to get what I need at BBM. Like, I'm jamming Drew Lock.
I needed one AJ Brown catch, and I thought at the game script at the end, like, oh, maybe he's going to get it, and he didn't.
I was the same way. I needed 3 more AJ Brown points to get a 6th team through. But man, this Eagles team is talk about a limp dick finish for them.
Watching all you NFL nerds like tilt off about the Geno Smith Drew Lock uncertainty was so fun. That's like an average college football game.
Yeah, And there was the Western Kentucky game. The guy started, and then the other guy came in and threw five after touchdowns. Veldkamp or whatever.
Yeah.
We had like our
NFL
Sims
was fun to follow that night.
Our Sims and projections, like really behind the scenes, like watching, like who do we put in? Like, you know, who do you put in as quarterback? You know, you kept on going snip, snap on it. Speaking of Roto Grinders, we do have our props and pick 'em package. People asking about that. We got the squad rides. Tuttle, are you in on any of the squad ride stuff?
I'm in Wisconsin, man. I can't bet legally.
You can still do like props and pick 'em. You can do the pick 'em and like underdog.
It eliminates. So the idea behind squad rides, right, is somebody picks a bet from our scores and odds package. I know Alan still gets in on it by
using sleeper
prop sites to do two picks or whatever. But I think that kind of defeats the purpose.
Well,
because you're just riding
one
pick.
To it.
It is fun though. It is. It's fun.
And done pretty well.
All right, Kitchen, we got about 15 more minutes, two plus positions, and a FanDuel lineup here to get to. I'm sure you'll keep us on course.
Yeah, let's go to wide receiver. Tyreek plays. What do you do?
Play him. Good play.
He's 9,600. He's not cheap.
He's like the only guy on the entire slate. Dude. He's like the only guy on the entire slate who projects for above. There's three guys on the slate who project for above 20. Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and CeeDee Lamb, but you're going to get far and away. Well, I guess this is the question. What is the ownership between Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill end up being like? Like if Tyreek is 6% because there's not an obvious... Yeah, if there's not an obvious punt play, I don't know. That's pretty freaking appealing to me.
I think people will like...
It's going to come down to Beathard, right?
Why is that?
Just QB value-wise?
You think people will play Beathard?
I think people will play Beathard.
Well, how about $3,800 Parker Washington, Zay Jones, listed as week-to-week for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think Washington ends up getting jammed a good bit. If Watson doesn't play, you've got Wicks. You've got, you know, whatever ends up happening with the Colts wide receivers. If Pittman doesn't go, you know, this joker DJ Montgomery. I don't even, like, ugh. Unreal.
I kind of like the Wicks take, but I will say he's there's no way he's going to get any ownership steam at all.
Well, I'm saying for me it's playing him, because if I can just jam Wicks in every single entry team, that's a lot easier to play Tyreek.
Right.
I think Jefferson is going to end up being extremely popular. Like if you think about trying to build out the alpha mini of like Jefferson, Amon-Ra versus CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill, like, you know, people I think are just going to gravitate to that game for stacking purposes much more.
F1 projects really well, but playing against, aren't you worried about this Jets defense, Davis?
As it pertains to Sam Howell?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not playing any commander because Sam Howell is going to get benched at halftime. I would probably actually, you know what? I need to rescind that take. If Brian Robinson doesn't play again, I will be the slappy going back to the Antonio Gibson well, I think.
No, Davis.
No,
his role didn't even change.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't go back to that well. You touched the fire.
You
touched the stove.
Right?
You got burned. You're not touching it again,
guys,
buddy.
I am who I am, and I'm comfortable with who I am.
You can't do it.
I can. Boy, watch me. I literally will.
What? Defend this take. You can't play Antonio Gibson.
Defend the take. I think he's good. That's all I got. That's literally all I got.
You normally are better at bullshitting, but you know you got nothing that you just
I got nothing. No, it's literally bias. I am biased towards Antonio Gibson. That's literally
I played way too much of him last week. That's why I have like
the Well, I didn't play too much of him. I played you know who the Sims loved last week? Ezekiel frickin' Elliott, dude. Like grow up, man. I need to get my head out of the Sims and into the fucking dirt, because that was of all the plays I've made that are stupid that I knew were stupid when I clicked them. Zeke as a 10-point dog against the Chiefs, pretty high up on that list of egregious clicks.
Davis, would you rather play Dontavian Wicks against Carolina or Jaxon Smith-Njigba versus Tennessee?
Wicks, because
same price range.
Wicks is a vibes based take, and I'm gonna get an ownership discount after and I got it, dude. I'm fading hard on JSN being projected for more than Tyler Lockett in 2 weeks. I gotta win this bet versus Peter.
DK Metcalf also at 6,700 against his Tennessee secondary just seems like
Davis. Wait, what does Tart do to the Tennessee secondary?
Tart is a run stopper, Tuttle.
Oh, okay, my bad. But so Davis, wasn't that the case for the running backs then? Not the.
Yeah, I did he's make that case for the running backs.
He's saying it's systemic. The Titans defense in general. Peter, you were saying before David.
Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to clarify something for our big bet. I know a lot of people are very excited about who Leone is projecting for more points in week 17, JSN or Lockett. I wanted to clarify, are we going to do opening projection or closing line projection?
We can do closing. I think that's fine.
All right. There is a little bit of meddling. I just don't want anyone, you know, sliding, a Buffalo chicken tender under the table to Leone to juice the projections or anything like that, you know?
I know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be Lockett for like 11.3 and JSN for like 11.2. And I'm going to be like, victory, motherfucker.
Dude, did JSN have a higher target share last week?
No, Lockett had 9 targets still.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This not looking good sweat for you, bruv.
Yeah. It's going to be a sweat. I'm going to have some conversations about Leone. I'm like, dude, JSN just passes the eye test out there, man. He's going to be earning targets down the stretch.
Eight targets for Lockett, 4 for JSN.
Oh. You know what I might actually have to do? I might have to get to Leone minions. I'm going to slide into Jack Miller.
What you got to do. You got to get to Dankenberg. You got to ship it. You got to be like, dude, I'm telling you, you got to slide into Jack Miller's DMs and be like, well, look, we'll have you back on the Swolecast.
Davis, would this be our greatest accomplishment right up to boosting Patrick Laird's Millie Maker ownership level by like 2 percentage points? If we could get the ETR projections to actually change on Lockett and JSN based on our bet. I think that'd be great.
I mean, I'm hoping that it doesn't. I'm hoping that it's kind of just business as usual as it pertains to Tyler Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba. But anyway, back to the slate.
Leone just liked my the clip about the Stroud, and we just don't know. He loves that. He loves the variant stuff. Also, anything that makes Davis look bad, he loves.
He loves a 32-year-old wide receiver, though. I mean, what is Michael Leone like more than a wide receiver on the wrong
Dalton
side of
30? Kincaid.
Yeah. All right. Let's just do this. Justin Jefferson, at what percent ownership projected does he not become a generational wealth play?
30%.
Up to like you're checking the Sims on Sunday morning, you seem 28%.
We already just threw out the Sims, right, Davis? They're funneling you to all these bad decisions.
They funneled me to good decisions, but that was really stupid. Tuttle, Justin Jefferson, what percentage does he shift away from generational wealth incoming?
Dude, I have no idea what he's going to be. I have no idea.
The question wasn't what he's going to be. He's saying, what's the break-even point where you would or wouldn't play him at ownership?
We can still play him, but just where it's not like you feel really smug about it on Sunday morning. Like, these plebs don't even know.
He's got to be below 30.
Yeah. I mean, I
think he could push 30%.
To give people the context, he was 7% owned in the Raiders game when he came back from injury. I literally thought I was rich. I mean, I was counting the money.
What was he this past week? Or was he was on the 3-game slate?
He was on on the 3-gamer, but he was not as popular as you would think. Like, I think he was the 4th most owned wide receiver on the 3-gamer. So, yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting because of the Miami game is why it makes it such a tough spot to figure out, I think.
Tyreek not at practice today. I guess we maybe should have learned our lesson with Jalen Waddle last week. Like, when Tyreek doesn't play, Jalen Waddle just Tyreek, basically.
Yeah, and if Reek doesn't Waddle, go, JJ's 30 plus.
Waddle owners had to just be going through this wide range of emotions.
Yeah, he went to the 10 him. First drive.
He goes
every
out
game. Every game.
Comes back in.
Davis didn't even have him in his lineup, and he was ready to do a late swap just seeing Jaylen Waddle go to the 10. Well, I don't know how this impacts my lineup, but I need to late swap.
I notably played Cedric Wilson in cash on DraftKings last week, so I actually...
I saw him in... I was reviewing some of those Fantasy Football World Championship rosters, and I saw Cedric Wilson. I was like, I didn't even have a conversation about Cedric Wilson. I didn't see him popping in any projection. Where were all of you guys seeing Cedric Wilson?
I was swapping Cedric Wilson into the lineup, so watching my 9-year-old son play basketball. It was not a good game.
Not one of my proudest moments.
We did mention, though, last week, Treylon Burks at men's salary, and he didn't have like the best game, but had like 9 points. Well, wasn't
he ran starters routes for the first
starters
time
routes. Coming back. I saw your tweet thread. He's not practicing today, but if he does play this week, he's only 3,100. Like, could be an interesting dark.
Dave, I'm going to give you a Titans related compliment. I think he is a cromulent play on DraftKings.com this week. Like, 11% on Parker Washington or 0.8% on Treylon Burks is probably Treylon Burks.
All right, let's.
How does Tart being out affect Treylon Burks' target share?
Are they like locker room buddies? Like
prayer group buddies?
No, Tart was a cancer in the locker room. That's why Vrabel released him. He's actually really good. Vrabel released him. You know who picked him up? You guys know this. The Texans picked him up. Wow. He's one of the best.
Really ready for you to say the Kansas City Chiefs, because what that locker room needs is more bad vibes.
No, it was anybody complaining about their contract, you know. But let's get on to the FanDuel lineup, one of the staples of the show. Amazing.
I'm picturing a staple that's like half falling out, no. Like dangling.
People love you guys. Don't staple. Get it. The love for FanDuel is strong.
Yeah.
But what's so funny is like, if you love FanDuel, you would want us to actually devote some actual time, not begrudgingly slapping together a lot. Like, does this scratch the FanDuel itch? Let us know in the comments. Does us doing zero research, putting together a shitty FanDuel lineup for 4 minutes, scratch the itch?
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with your point, but if you like watch or go on X or Twitter and like look at people talk about like FanDuel versus DraftKings sportsbook stuff.
People everyone likes
UX is better on FanDuel.
Yeah. I saw that tweet.
I don't get it. Yeah. Like it's crazy. Like everybody thinks FanDuel's UX is better.
If I could get into my account, I'd probably think it's a gorgeous interface to look at.
You just have to try next week. I really do think we should do a live, like a live on the air, and just see how long it takes you to get in. Because I would bet it's less than 5 minutes.
I laugh at you guys because of this, but last week I had the press and hold button, and I couldn't get in after two times. Like, it lasted an hour.
That's not even the issue for me. The issue is my email must have gotten in some like doxing black market thing or whatever. So every time I log in to change my password and get back in, someone tries to log back into my account gets locked out every week. Like every time I try and play on FanDuel, it gets locked out the next day, and I have to go in and change the password and do it again.
Dan says live 2FA is what will get Swole back on the road to 10K.
Correct.
There you go.
We should have a contest in. The winner gets the credentials to my DFF Comedy Hour _ Pete account on FanDuel.
That's like why you don't. $12 in there. That's why you don't want to go in there.
Peter wins. Peter wins, now too GP, good. Peter wins a GPP, but he has to screenshot it with his account.
That would be amazing.
And it's FF Comedy Hour _ Pete.
That's what it is. You were embarrassed of the FF Hour Comedy Hour _ Pete.
Initially when you guys first roasted me for it, I was very embarrassed. And now I wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah. All right, Dave, we'll let you take the first pick so you can't ruin it. After we get cooking.
Shut up. All right. Let's go, boy. Let's go with Kenneth Walker. You know, no tier tart. This Titans
run. I knew that was going to happen.
This dude has been mentioned more than any other. This is like A.T. Perry. He's like the theme of the show.
Here you go, Pete. Question for you: would you rather win $1 million as FF Comedy Hour Pete or $100K on DraftKings?
I mean, this isn't even close. I mean, for sure, FF Comedy Hour P. That would be incredible.
It's really good. Really good for your brand. All right. I am going
didn't
to
you, select. Didn't you try to get it changed on FanDuel?
Oh, they yeah. No. Here's the thing. FanDuel let me change it from an old name to FF Comedy Hour.
Now we gotta know what the old name is.
What was the old name? It was the same on both sites. It's my DraftKings, which is just the anagram of my name, the revert Z top. But I was like, man, this is a great branding opportunity. Gonna be doing this podcast for the rest of my life. Oh, that is amazing content. I'm kind of stuck. FanDuel stinks. I am gonna select Elijah Moore against Houston.
Oh, $5,500. Jesus. The love for the Browns offense.
That's Joe Flacco's son.
Elijah Moore on FanDuel, huh?
Yeah, dude. Touchdowns. It's good. It's fine.
Pete, what contest are we throwing this in?
I don't know if there was a gun to my head, if I could name a. You know, actually, I think the one would be like, why don't we throw this in the bomb, dude? Throw this in the Sunday bomb. I feel like I hear people say that.
There's the bomb.
Okay. Yeah,
I was going to throw it in the Up in Adams 50K challenge free play contest.
Is that a K Adams
theme contest? Yeah.
Incredible. Does Shams have his own DFS contest over here?
You guys think Shams and K Adams are a thing?
No kitchen.
David. We're not getting into celebrity gossip. Niche, like NBA celebrity gossip here on this whole cast.
Isn't there a Leonie and a K. Adams story from a live event?
Yeah, I feel like there. The two hats picture was at a party that K. Adams was hosting.
There. No, it was a live event.
Yep.
And Leonie was there. And I have him on tape on my phone where he said, this is K. Adams' drink, but I'm just going to drink it.
Yes, that's what it was.
Because she was up there introducing Ricky Anderson and left her drink at the bar. And Leonie was so gone that he was just like, this is my drink now. And he was wearing two hats, and that's where it came from. So two hats, one mic. All right, we got Kenneth Walker and Elijah Moore. We got some work to do. Peter?
We talked about him, but didn't get him in our other lineup. Let's get Chuba in here at 6,400.
Gross.
See, that's more of a FanDuel play than Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I'd rather go.
I'm living the dream, dude.
Okay.
By the way, you know who we haven't talked about yet that I've seen like nonstop NFL Twitter hype about? Calvin Ridley.
Oh god.
Yeah, like literally leave that guy for dead. What's the point? Parker Washington is better than Calvin Ridley.
But have you seen his opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, Zay Jones had like 29 expected points the other week too, but he kills Zay Jones.
Did you see him in August in shorts just running
the Christmas route? I did. Trust me, one of the most costly decisions of my life because I could have just had more Derrick Henry. Although I guess they both scored like 4 points in week 15, so who really cares?
All right. Who hasn't made a pick yet?
Me and
you. I think it's your pick, big guy.
No, I Kenneth Walker.
Oh,
it's so Tuttle. Peter. Yeah. No, I just did a Chuba.
Oh yeah.
I feel like Tuttle. We can spend money, so I'm going to go CD.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's why I took my awful Elijah Moore pick was so that someone else could pick a stud.
Tuttle uses us as a meat shield. We fall on the grenades of the bad picks, and then Tuttle gets to just jam the best plays, maintain the brand equity.
All right, let's go with Kyler.
All right, I will take Trey McBride.
Double McBride lineups today.
He is expensive on
FanDuel. No, I love that though. I love that. Yeah. Like it's actually like FanDuel actually dynamically changing their pricing is hilarious.
This is probably an Evan Ingram week though, right?
I'm so beaten down by that man.
All right. Pete.
Can we afford Mike Evans here? I feel like we need a buck in one of these lineups today.
We need a grown man.
We work.
I don't know, but we can make it work. I don't think we can.
Seahawks defense, Mike Evans gives us 5,100.
Or Panthers defense at 3,200.
No, Seahawks is the move, but I don't know if there's a $5,100 play even on FanDuel.
We'll find one.
Probably a double tight end type of lineup. Michael Gallup, no, we already got.
Just 5,100.
Do we have any other stacking partners? Michael Wilson fits perfectly.
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
Destiny.
Double. There you go. Double the Zona stack.
All right. Real quick.
People forget Michael Wilson has a 2-touchdown game this season.
You could even bring it back with Mooney if you wanted to do the stack.
Is this a double tight end week, Tuttle?
Yes.
No, it's not a double tight end week. I think this is one of the first weeks in a while.
I think Tuttle is right. I think there are a lot of cheap wide receivers that profile better.
Well, we don't have like the cheap 3K guys, right? Like Chig's the best, maybe at 3.1. Otherwise, McBride's up at 57.
What's Kraft?
Kraft is 3.7. So yeah, I mean, if Kraft catches some steam, I still wouldn't see it really happening though.
Yeah. Just trying to see if there's anyone else that is like semi-playable. Logan Thomas, probably not. Kate Otten, I guess. Yeah, it's not great. I mean, the tight end is Trey McBride and everyone else.
Njoku. Like
yeah, sure. He's 5,300. I mean, at that
point. It's crazy that Njoku has had a good season without Watson. I thought he would have been done for sure.
Yeah, directionally accurate.
The process was there. Like, just imagine if Watson was anywhere close to Flacco's level. Again, Evan Ingram feels like he should be mentioned. Cole Kmet against Arizona.
What about Kyle Schitt's? Arthur Smith coaching for his job, draws up, builds the whole plane out of Kyle Pitts passes.
Could see it. I think with
he tells Arthur Blank, look, dude, I'd use the guys the front office drafted. I threw the ball to him 11 times. We still lost. What do you want me to do?
I think with Tier Tart out, Chigakonkwo could be interesting.
What about TJ Hockenson?
You want to just continue naming all the other good tight ends?
No.
I think TJ Hockenson's a good play.
There's a narrative there, right?
What's the narrative? Oh, revenge game.
Revenge game.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, all right.
Somebody mentioned Otten in chat. Otten's a fine play at 33.
Yeah.
Not a very inspiring tight end week. I'll probably end up with a lot of pits just looking at this now. So, see you at the bottom, everybody.
Can't defend it. But we're just gonna do it because
I did just defend the Kyle Pitts thing, which is Arthur Smith. Basically, he does the petulant, toddler tantrum thing where he's like, look, I'll give all you idiots what you want. Bijan gets 20 carries, 8 deep shots for Drake London, 11 targets for Kyle Pitts. And, you know, I'll give you toxic groupthink losers what you want.
Drake London at 5,100. I think I saw. It's pretty nice. Final thoughts. Can we wrap up this show? Tuttle, did you give a terrible take? Was it Roshan?
It's got to be Thielen with the reaction I've gotten.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Thielen.
He seems terrible enough to me.
Yeah. Davis, final thoughts?
Justin Jefferson, generational wealth, unless he ends up being giga-owned, then he's not generational wealth, in which case Dontavian Wicks will become generational wealth.
All right. Pete?
Turn on Noties. For David Kitchen's Twitter, he'll let you know when he's hopping in these playoff best ball drafts. You want to take 150K down in the gauntlet? Hop in a draft with David Kitchen.
David taking the Titans when they've been eliminated from the playoff.
This team's going to the moon now that Tier Tart has been cut.
What if Ryan Tannehill is what you need in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, speaking of, what if Ryan Tannehill is who you need this week? Like, people that saw my teams, I have Tannehill and Hopkins on pretty much every best ball team still alive. So if they go off, just know It's going to be a very merry Christmas for your boy.
I'm hoping that happens for you, David.
I hope we have a finalist on this show.
It'd be great.
Oh my gosh. Davis, I'm looking at my Dynasty Superflex League. Michael Wilson, Puka Nacua, Parker Washington, Dontavian Wicks.
I'm first in the league, brother.
And on that note, we'll see y'all next time here on the Swolecast at RunnerGrinders.com.